We're going to return now to the subject of Iraq. A little earlier, we discussed how the war is being assessed in the halls of Congress. Now we want to get the perspective of other close observers. Joining us are two journalists from outlets that mainly serve of Arab readers and listeners. Hoda Abdel Hamid is the Iraq correspondent for Al Jazeera English. She's on the line from Baghdad. And Hassan Namneh is director of the Iraq Memory Foundation and a columnist for the Arab newspaper Al Hayat. He's here with me in the studio. Welcome to you both. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hoda, can I start with you? How is Al Jazeera covering the hearings? Or are they covering the hearings?
We are covering the hearing. We had been live yesterday during most of it. We are giving it a lot of attention. As you said, we give more the regional perspective, obviously, on what he is saying. Ambassador Crocker and General Petraeus are saying, then maybe a more Western perspective of it. But we are, I think, covering as extensively as any other channel at the moment.
And what do you think is the headline for your viewers?
Well, I think the headline for our viewer is that the troops will stay longer, which is not there will be a freeze on troops withdrawal, which is not a different headline from anyone else. I do think that we then treat it differently in the sense that we question whether actually the surge is really working and whether this reduction of violence is a real reduction of violence or just some sort of cosmetics that's happening on the surface.
And one got the sense in watching the coverage here that there was a lot of frustration on the part of members of Congress, including some Republicans. And I wonder, was that also part of the story in your coverage?
Well, I think what was more part of the story is what General Petraeus was putting forward and what were the differences between this time and last time he had a hearing. We did also put it in the context about how it will be used for the presidential elections and by each candidate and how he would use this hearing to further his own Iraq agenda.
Hassan, briefly, if you tell us about Al Hayat, for those who aren't familiar with it, you were telling me it's like the International Herald Tribune, and
yes,
it's available.
It is a newspaper of record in the Arab world, and it aims to be the second newspaper in every Arabic-speaking country. But as a matter of fact, it is the editorial work for Al Hayat is both in London and in Beirut, but it's printed across the Arab world, in Cairo, in Bahrain, in Casablanca, and in other places. The focus really of the coverage, at least my analysis of it, has been on trying to probe into the not only the American intentions with regard to Iraq, but also the way the Arab culture and Arab media interpret those intentions. I would say up until the surge had happened, the debate in the Arab press and in Arab culture about American intentions were whether the U.S. presence in Iraq is merely malevolent or malignant. It's whether it is malice or it is just incompetence. I think what the surge has introduced, and especially the coverage of the surge that has described the internal divisions in terms of the American political class, but also American society with regard to the war, what it has introduced is another element. Is the U.S. really trying to make it work? I think this now we have at least, it's definitely not the dominant point of view, but it is a point of view that says that the U.S. is indeed trying to make it work. And this is reflected to some extent as a result of the actual figures. I mean, both in terms of the reduction of violence, but also, frankly, in terms of the breakdown of fear. Up until the surge, the notion of Al-Qaeda being unavoidable in Iraq, in the sense that Al-Qaeda is proceeding towards establishing what at that point was a fictional state, the Islamic State of Iraq, but that Islamic State is moving on. Since the surge and since the reversal, at least, of that dynamic and the creation of a new dynamic within the Sunni community in which Sunnis are fighting Al-Qaeda and not just the central government, you have had new elements introduced into the discourse. And I would say that the same applies now with regard to Jaish al-Mahdi and with regard to the Shia militias. The idea that, again, it is not a central government that consists of Sunnis that is fighting Jaish al-Mahdi. It's a central government that's largely dominated by Shias, That's Fighting Jaish al-Mahdi.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and we're speaking about the Iraq hearings with two international observers, two journalists who mainly serve an Arab language audience. Hoda, all eyes were on the three remaining presidential candidates, all of whom had a chance to question General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker yesterday. Do you have a sense of whether your viewers are interested in the views of these candidates as they relate to Iraq?
No, I think our viewers here would be more interested in knowing really how General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker actually sell the surge to the American people, how they we've been hearing about this freeze of troops withdrawal since a few weeks now, and I think one of the focuses were how are they going to put it down, are they going to explain that there is more violence, meaning violence is up again, are they going to explain that there's some serious concerns about the future of the Awakening Councils and how long they would actually continue being the good guys at the moment. A lot of them are threatening to quit their jobs. A lot of them are threatening to resume fighting the Americans at the moment because they're growing more and more frustrated with the Shia-led government. So I think that's the kind of analysis we try to see and how really General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker sell that to Congress.
And also another subtext, if I can call it that, of the hearings here is the number of casualties that Americans have sustained just since the weekend. I believe there have been 13 deaths of American service members since Sunday. As the corollary to that, and you were talking about the surge and whether it's indeed been really effective, are the casualties of the civilians there also part of the story on an ongoing basis with Al Jazeera?
Yes, they are. I mean, we always try to especially when anniversaries like this come, I would say we always try to underline more the human cost of this war, particularly for Iraqis, either by covering really this I think the big question is how many Iraqis have died since the invasion. The numbers vary and vary with quite a big on a large scale, and it seems to be some sort of political reasoning behind it for not wanting to reveal those numbers.
What number do you use?
Well, we usually sort of say that the numbers vary between the lowest and the highest around. It's very, really difficult to
have independent verification.
One number. But I think this is also one of the tragedies of this war, is that no one wants to really reveal how many Iraqis have died so far. And these numbers exist with both the Iraqi government and the American government.
I see. Hassana, you have a weekly column which will appear on Sunday, and I believe you wrote about the hearings. Do you mind giving us a preview? What did you talk about?
Actually, the focus of my analysis was about the political uses of the Iraq question, that the Iraq question is ultimately a voter in the next elections, and it might be the voter that will determine the elections. And it's not simply a matter of presentation. It's also a matter of accomplishment, in the sense that up until a few months ago, the surge did indeed provide results on the ground. At least, I'm not simply talking now from a military point of view. Even from an Iraqi civilian point of view, it became the quality of life improved. That does not mean that it became at a level that is really acceptable. It was still below zero, but it improved considerably from the simply disastrous state that it was in. So my point was, and still is actually, to what extent successes of the search or the accomplishment of the search will maintain themselves in such a way that the search will become an asset for the Republican candidate, meaning for McCain, or to what extent it would be if eroded, and if indeed what the current trend, which is a resumption of violence, albeit of a different nature, if it ends up being, if it ends up corroding the successes or the benefits of the surge, it would be clearly a benefit, clearly to the advantage of the Democratic candidate, whether Obama or Clinton.
I see. Hoda, finally, can I ask you, what are you working on today?
Well, today I'm actually working on, well, today's the fifth anniversary of the fall of this of Baghdad, and we sort of mark this here at Al Jazeera in a quite more important way than the fifth anniversary of the beginning of the war. So we had a whole day of basically coverage of that. And that's it.
Interesting. Okay. And Hassan, what's next for you? What's your next story?
Well, clearly, the interest of the Arab public in the American elections is paramount at this point, in particular what's happening on the Democratic front. It is there's a little bit of a bewilderment about the continuation of the Clinton candidacy, given that the numbers seem to favor Obama. So it's trying to unravel, trying to explain the intricacies of the situation that I'm
well, when you figure it out,
on.
You let us know, okay? Hassan Nemneh is director of the Iraq Memory Foundation. He's a columnist for Al Hayat. It's an Arab newspaper. He was kind enough to join me here in our Washington studio. We were also joined by Hora Abdel Hamid. She's the Iraq correspondent for Al Jazeera English, and she joined us from Al Jazeera studios in Doha. Actually, no, I think you're in Baghdad, Hoda, correct?
No, I am in Doha.
In Doha, forgive me. Well, thank you for clarifying that.
She's
in Doha, in Qatar. Hoda, thank you also for joining us.
You're welcome.